Thank you, Rex, and that's a wonderful message. You can't beat the message of the Word of God. I'm thinking, he mentioned Russia, and I'm thinking, oh, put a Bible in Putin's hand, please. You know, but let's have a word of prayer as we continue on. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we just, for the good worship, for the praise songs and hymns, and for the prayers, and just for the fellowship. And for the opportunity to open your word today, because we know that you speak to us through your Holy Spirit and through the word of God. Open our hearts, our ears, our minds, that we might become more like you, more like what you desire us to be each day. Father, we want to remember Ricky as he has a procedure on Tuesday, that you'll bless him in that procedure. And also be with Byron as he has one on Wednesday. Be with those two. In a special way, pray that the procedures will be successful, and we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as we continue in the Gospel of John, and as we are in this Lent season, the spring time of year, and we've been preaching in the Gospel of John, today we're in John 17, and mostly when you're in John 17, you think about Jesus' prayer. There's a lot of prayer there, but we're all going to talk about, yeah, some prayer, but also about discipleship. And so just want to check in a few verses here today. I'm not going to read the whole chapter by any means, but we are going to read some verses, and starting at verse 7, which says, "Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you." Simple verse. And then he slipped down to verse 9. "I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours." And then also we slip down to verse 15. It says, "My prayer is not for you to take them out of this world, but that you protect them from the evil one." Then verse 20. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." And then in verse 23, "I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and you have loved them even as you have loved me." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. You know, there's a lot there going on. Last week we preached 1 through 5. Today it's verses 6 through 24, 25 there. Actually, through 26. There's just a lot going on. And it's about discipleship. What is discipleship? Discipleship is learning, following. And I was sitting there thinking earlier, I was thinking, when did I start learning? Well, you start learning the day you're born, don't you? You know, you start learning at home with your parents. And then I started learning in the church because I remember the church's nursery was painted yellow. I don't know why I remember that so well, but I do. And it was at West Creighton Christian Church. And that was a long, long time ago. But that's when my learning in the Lord started, really, is in my parents and in the church there at West Creighton. It's amazing. But I want to, Jesus gives us this idea, teaches discipleship through four elements. I'm going to talk about these four elements today. Learning, believing, praying, and unity. You know, Jesus is at the center of all of that. But those four elements are really very important, and they're all through this chapter. And so we want to talk about those four elements that Jesus gives us. And the first one, obviously, is learning. Learning. And we see that in verses 6 and 7. Learning. You know, learning is not just a head knowledge thing by any means. Some people would say, you know, there's different kinds of learners. Some people learn audibly. Some people learn with hands-on. Some people learn through sight. In fact, actually, you know, that's why I think it is so important that we do have the PowerPoint slides. Because once you can connect with the eye, you know, you're going to remember more. Seeing is so important. And hearing is so important. And you put the two together, you're going to learn better. And if you can go beyond that in your learning, you know, put the hands on, you really learn. And so it's so important that you do all of that in learning. You're learning, you know, you think about his disciples. What did they learn in the 3 years that they walked with Jesus? They learned by experience. They learned by hearing, by seeing. They learned about unity. And that was a real important thing, that they all be on the same page. You know, it's so important. They learned by believing. He talks in this passage about believing. Believing is so important, because believing is about trusting God. And so they learn through believing. We see, that's why learning is a lifelong piece, because we're always increasing our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Yeah. And so as we're, this is a hearing place, a listening place. That's why we do this, to learn, to follow Jesus better, and through that avenue. Learning is one of the things I wrote down in this passage, which is in verse 13. I love this. We learn about true happiness. Joy! Yeah. You want to be happy? You want to be joyful? Jesus taught joy to people. One of my friend Duncan, pastor friend, he back in Tecumseh, he's out in New York now, but he had a big banner made, and maybe you've seen these banners before, but one of his favorite pictures was Jesus laughing, being joyful. And he had that in their church, you know. And in this verse 13, it says, "I'm coming to you now, but I say these things that while I'm still in the world, so that they may have full measure of my joy within them." Jesus wants you to have joy. He wants you to be happy. You know, life isn't always happy, is it? We have things that make us sad. But ultimately, He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have joy. And real joy. There's a lot of, this world gives a lot of fake joy. Things that don't last. Non-eternal things that only last for a moment. You know, we talk about people going out in the car. As a teenager, it was joy riding, wasn't it? But that didn't last. In fact, sometimes that created death. But Jesus gives us joy that lasts for eternity. That's why I think worship's so important sometimes when we're singing. Because what do you think we're going to do when we get to heaven? One of the things we're going to do is we're going to sing. And it's going to be a joyous time. And we're going to see people that we love and know, and we're going to hear God speaking and be with God. That is joyful. Eternal joy is wonderful. And the gospel is joy. It brings joy to others. Other things he taught them to do, and he mentions here several times, prayer. Learning is about prayer. Prayer, you know, you think about Jesus. He got up early in the morning. He went and prayed. He needed that time of silence and solace. He did prayer every time he healed people. In fact, he was teaching his disciples, and after he resurrected Lazarus and different other things, he turned to his disciples and he says, "This kind of healing only can happen by prayer." Healing, you know, we go to the doctors, we need to trust the doctors, but we need to pray for the doctors. And because, you know, yeah, their hands touch us, you know, help us, but we need to pray that God uses them, guides their hands mentally, emotionally, and physically, you know, for healing. Healing is such an amazing piece, and God can bring healing, whether it be through the doctor or otherwise. Jesus was all about that, and he was teaching his disciples that prayer is a part of healing, so important. And prayer life is about holiness, getting close to God in that sense. Discipleship is also, besides learning, it is believing, as I mentioned. Believing, believing is all through scriptures. It's amazing. Actually, you know, the discipleship thing is mentioned in the New Testament alone 269 times. It talks about discipleship or learning or following. You know, but believing in Jesus is essential. Believing is what? It's learning to trust in God. It's hard to do that, isn't it? Because we want to control our own lives. That's what our society and culture teaches us, that we want to control everything. But to trust God is to believe, and to believe in God is to trust Him with our lives. That's what we do, isn't it, when we accept Christ into our hearts? We're saying, I trust you. I trust you with my life. Well, we think that we could trust somebody that gave us the breath of life to live. It's about faith. It's about protection. It's about unity. It's about the message, believing in the gospel that Jesus died for our sins, that He resurrected and gave us the hope, the joy. You know? So believing is essential. I came across this wonderful little story about Carrie, who was a missionary in India for many, many years. Anyway, thinking about faith and believing and trust. William Carey, called the father of modern missions, went to India in 1793. Worked there for 40 years. I spent a month in India back in 1997. And I hate to say it, this place I never really wanted to go back to. And it was fun preaching. I mean, they expected you to preach 1-2 hours every night, sometimes longer. You know, and they put a big megaphone. They'd have speakers outside on their church buildings so that the neighborhood could hear you preach. And they would take a small space and crowd 1,000 people into a space more than half the size. I mean, they just scoot them all in there on the floor. And it's amazing what they do. But India, here we are, faith in that sense. Well, he was there for 40 years, never once returning to his native home in England. He translated portions of scripture into more than a dozen Indian languages. Wow, that's amazing. I think you could only do that with God's help and believing. One afternoon, after 20 years of plodding through translation work in India, a fire ravaged through Carey's printing plant and warehouse. So he didn't just translate, he printed, you know, so that they could have a written word, the Word of God. All his printing equipment was destroyed, but most tragically, many of his precious manuscripts were completely consumed. 20 years of nonstop labor were gone within a few hours. Wow, that would be devastating, wouldn't it? The ground must be labored over again. But we are not discouraged. Carey wrote to his pastor friend, Andrew Murray. And if you've read anything out there, Andrew Murray has several books out on prayer. Anyway, in England, we have been supported under affliction and preserved from discouragement. To me, the consideration of the divine sovereignty and wisdom has been very supporting. I preached on this affliction last Lord's Day from Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I principally dwelt with two ideas. God has sovereign right to dispose of us as He please. You know, God is sovereign. He can do what He wants with us. So He chose to allow a fire. And that would be devastating. But you know what? God's bigger than that. There was purpose. The second part was, we ought to be thankful in all that God does within, with us and to us. Now, wouldn't it be hard to have that attitude, to labor for 20 years, translating, have your printing presses there as a missionary, to get the gospel out, to share to these people, and then it go up in smoke? And yet he was thankful. And you know what? He didn't give up. He continued another 20 years. What a lesson for us. We've got to keep going. Got to keep, you know. And so it's all about faith and about trust. We need to trust God in every situation there is. Trust. And I believe Jesus was teaching his disciples to trust. You know, he teaches us to trust. But just think, once Jesus died and resurrected, and then he went to heaven, and he gave them the great commission that we read in Matthew 28. Go make disciples, baptizing and teaching them, is what he commanded. So those 12 they appointed new apostles after Judas hung himself. They went out into all the world, as it says in Acts 1:8. They went out to Judea, Samaria, and to other parts of the world. You think about it. They trusted God to walk with them to everywhere in the world, all parts of it, and to get the word of God and the message of God and the gospel out. Huge. It's so important that we trust and believe. Discipleship is also praying. I couldn't function without praying. You pray in the morning when you get up, you pray at noon, you pray at bedtime, you pray at supper, you pray all the time. It says what? 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Yes, yes. Prayer is so important. Verses 9 through 19, it talks about prayer in here. And part of prayer is what? It's communication. Communication, not just one way, is it? Communication is, and this is where I think we struggle with in prayer. We struggle with listening. That's part of prayer, is listening, being quiet, listening for God's voice. It's so important. It's listening, hearing God, sharing with God what's on your heart. He knows what's on your heart, but He loves it when you share yourself. It's caring, it's loving deeply. Prayer is all about those things. And it's believing and trusting that He hears your prayers and He's going to answer those prayers. And He will. It's communication. So yeah, we have to hear, but we also have to share with Him our hearts. It's so important. And so Jesus prays in this text. He prays several times, and He says that He talks about praying for them, meaning that the 12, the disciples, you know, He's praying for them. But He also, he goes on. He prays that they'll be one in mind and heart, that they'll have unity. I think as a church, that's important, that we're all on the same page. Sometimes we're not. We think we are, but sometimes we're not. And as a church, you need to really be praying that you are one with God and God is one with you, and that you're all on the same page, going the same direction. It's kind of like the illustration, Andrea's grandfather, when we were engaged, and he pulled me aside and he says, you know, when you get married, if you have a rope and you throw the rope over the house, now if you put a person on one side of the rope and a person on the other side of the rope, it doesn't go very easy good, does it? But if you're both on the same side of the rope pulling, it's a lot easier. And so I think that's the way it should be in church too. That we're all pulling on the same rope, the same way, going the same direction. It's very, very important that we do that. So prayer is essential. It's so important. And discipleship is also unity. Unity. We see in verses 20 through 26, unity. Unity is oneness. That we have this oneness, standing together as one people. Costly. There's a discipleship costs something. It's just not something easy. It's being kind of, we're set apart together to be holy and righteous and sanctified for God's purpose and having unity. In verse 17, he talks about, he says, I want to sanctify them. And He sanctified us through the blood, but we are made holy and righteous through Jesus. And we need to have that unity. People know if you have unity, and if you're all working together in one page, going the same direction. It's so, so important. So as we look at, you know, these four, I call them four elements of discipleship, the learning, the believing, the praying, and the unity. And as that first slide showed Jesus at the center of it, that's what brings those things together. He has to bring those things together. And He will do it for you. He will do it for this church. So I also like to call these, it's all about character. You know, I call them elements, but these are all character elements. These are the elements of Jesus, character elements that happen. We want to put those into our lives so importantly, so that Jesus, that when people see us, they say, wow, he's a disciple. He's a follower. She's a follower. She's a prayer warrior. This person is a learner. This person really believes. We want people to see those elements in our lives. It's so important. Won't you stand with me this morning as we prepare to sing our invitation hymn? Really important. I believe in an invitation hymn so much, because whether a person comes forward or not, even in your pew,